This week marks the 150th anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. He's widely regarded as our greatest president, but one problem with icons is that sometimes they prove to have feet of clay. For instance, was Abe Lincoln really the great emancipator? Or was he possibly a closet racist who freed the slaves not because he believed in their equality, but because he needed their help to win the war?
Let the slaves and free colored people be called into the Union Army to march into the South and raise the banner of emancipation among the slaves. This wonderful proclamation of emancipation will not just free the slaves, it will free the oppressors from their sinful rule.
Mr. Lincoln, signing that emancipation proclamation will dishonor our founding fathers and violate the Constitution that you swore to uphold. Sir, you are taking our property, and it will destroy the country.
Mr. Lincoln, are the great principles of political freedom and natural justice embodied in the Declaration of Independence extended to us? If not, then your boasted liberty is an unholy license. Your national greatness a swelling vanity. Your shouts of liberty and equality a hollow mockery. And your prayers and hymns are mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, hypocrisy.
During Lincoln's own time, people found plenty to criticize about his stand on race. And today, a lot of historians say the question they would most like to ask the man himself is, what do you really think about black people? Harvard historian John Stauffer combed through everything Lincoln ever wrote about race and slavery, and he told Steve Paulson that from today's perspective,
Lincoln was a racist, but so was just about every other white man and woman of the 1850s, which highlights the difference between that time and today. The best way to understand Lincoln is that he was a Southerner. He grew up in a sense a border state in Kentucky, Illinois, and Indiana. And so he was a Southerner, but a Southerner who evolved far beyond what most Southerners did. Most poor white Southerners were virulently racist. Think of someone like Nathan Bedford Forrest, the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. W.B. Du Bois wonderfully said that Lincoln began poor white trash, but unlike most of his peers, he rose above it.
So that's really the remarkable story about Lincoln. He came out of this background, and yet he changed his thinking dramatically, including while he was president.
Exactly. And his self-evolution, his self-making, evolved more dramatically, more radically during his years as president than ever before. When he became president, when he gave his inaugural address, his relationship with blacks was still profoundly distant. The closest Frederick Douglass ever came to losing his faith in American democracy and emigrating to Haiti is where he planned to go, was in the immediate wake of Lincoln's inaugural. Douglass ended up meeting Lincoln three times in the White House. He was the first black to meet a U.S. president in terms of near equality. Lincoln was very taken with Douglass. They became friends. But had Douglass sought a meeting with President Lincoln in 1861 or even early 1862, Lincoln wouldn't even have admitted him.
Well, to back up for a moment, before he became president, Lincoln had come from a family that had opposed slavery, but attitudes towards slavery and attitudes about race were two very different things. And
that's right.
I mean, he would often tell stories, even when he was a state representative in Illinois. He used the N-word. He would tell kind of nasty stories that, by today's standards, certainly were racist.
Correct. He would tell dirty jokes that would employ the N-word. He was very derogatory toward blacks. The number of hours that he spent with intelligent blacks was probably less than 24 in his life. And it's important to distinguish between Lincoln's or anyone's attitudes towards slavery and their attitudes towards race, as you point out. Lincoln hated slavery, and he said on numerous occasions he hated slavery as much as any abolitionist, and there's no reason to doubt that. But although he hated slavery, his vision for ending it was extremely conservative, and that reflected his attitude toward blacks. For almost his entire life, his strategy for ending slavery was threefold. One, very gradual emancipation. He said in his debates with Stephen Douglas that his vision for the ultimate extinction in terms of when that would occur would be not less than 100 years, which would have put the emancipation no earlier than 1958. He also called for compensation to masters for the loss of their so-called property, and he encouraged emigration or colonization of blacks to a different country. So, in essence, Lincoln's vision for the United States was a white one, and that was true for almost his entire life.
Let me pick up on the question of colonization, because this remains controversial to this day. I mean, even when Lincoln was president, as he was drafting the Emancipation Proclamation and freeing the slaves, he was still not at all sure that that blacks and whites could coexist in this country. And he was advocating that blacks should go elsewhere, either to Africa or to South America.
And that was true of most statesmen, from Washington really through Lincoln. The most common vision for ending slavery was very gradual emancipation with colonization.
And, of course, it would infuriate someone like the ex-slave Frederick Douglass, who, I
absolutely,
mean, the implication was that blacks weren't real Americans. I mean, they had to go elsewhere.
That's exactly right. In fact, Douglass called Lincoln more than once a representative American racist. And in the North as a whole, most Northerners in 1861 could not envision a world of universal emancipation, could not envision a world in which blacks had rights under the law and suffrage. By 1865, most Northerners embraced emancipation because they understood that in order to defeat this powerful enemy, the Confederacy, they needed blacks on their side. So in many respects, facing this common enemy that threatened their existence, that threatened their identity, brought blacks and whites together as never before, and Lincoln was a product of this social transformation.
Is this to say that the Emancipation Proclamation was only put forward to try to get black soldiers to fight on behalf of the Union and also to sort of take those slaves out of the South to undermine the Southern economy?
That was the chief purpose of it. Yes, that was the chief purpose. And Lincoln was very forthright in stating that. Lincoln himself believed that one could only end slaves as part of a war power measure. His generals are the ones who told him that freeing the slaves, arming black troops, was the single most powerful weapon that the Union could have on its side in ending the war. And Frederick Douglass had been saying that from the beginning of the war. He said that the slaves are the stomach of the rebellion, that slaves are feeding the Confederacy, they're building the roads for the Confederacy fortifications, and until the Union emancipates slaves, the slaves are essentially aiding and abetting the Confederacy. And Lincoln ultimately came to realize that.
Hmm. Now, to me, one of the most admirable traits about Lincoln is how he managed to change during his presidency. I mean, this is so rare. I mean, we so often hear about politicians who talk about staying the course or showing resolve and, you know, not compromising on their principles. And here Lincoln profoundly changed while he was president.
Right.
And, I mean, it seems almost unprecedented that he was able to do that.
Right. It was, I think, emblematic of who he was. Abraham Lincoln, I argue, with Frederick Douglass were the two preeminent self-made men in American history. And what that meant was, as self-made men, not someone who rose up from nothing to become rich, but someone who continually evolved and continually changed. His understanding of selfhood, of basic identity, was one in which the self was continually evolving in a state of continual flux. And that ultimately contradicts the very idea of racism, because racism depends upon a self that is permanently fixed. It depends upon one person who is white and continually or permanently superior to another person who is non-white. And to embrace, to accept this idea of a self that is in a state of continual flux ultimately contradicts it. And that's one of the reasons why the blacks who met with Lincoln in the White House, and Lincoln met with more black leaders, more intelligent blacks in the White House than every former president combined, they all said that Lincoln treated them with respect. Douglass said after his meetings with Abraham Lincoln that Lincoln was one of the few men who treated him as a man, not as a black man. And that's an extraordinary statement because Douglass interacted with a lot of abolitionists.
You have a phrase to describe Lincoln. You call him a recovering racist.
Yes. And I think that to see Lincoln that way is not to disparage him. I think too many Americans continue to mythologize Lincoln, to see him as perfect. They want to see him as though he were among us today. To see any human being as perfect is to treat him as a myth, not as a human, because to be human is to make mistakes, to be less than we would like, to commit grave mistakes, to be flawed. And so to see Lincoln as a recovering racist is to put him in his time and his place and to acknowledge who he actually was. But also, I think ultimately, it means that we have greater respect for him because we see how far he was able to come.
John Stauffer chairs the History of American Civilization at Harvard University. He's the author of Giants, The Parallel Lives of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Steve Paulson talked with him.